Greetings, Earthlings. Are you receiving our transmission? It is your new overlook. Okay, I'm kidding. Hello, hi. Post show 113, back. Little 2 week hiatus. You'll hear us argue about how long the hiatus actually was in the opening minutes of this show, but it was 2 weeks, and for that we deeply apologize. Believe me, we give you a very detailed account of our absence in the show, so I won't ramble on that, but it's good to be back, and we covered quite a bit today. What do we cover? I'll give you some highlights here. Helldivers 2, there's no way we can't not talk about that. I'm aware that was a double negative, it was intentional. Zone of Interest. See, previous Dave would just start re-recording. The Dave of today, well, he's comfortable with his failures, or too lazy to restart. We catch up on Frieren, solo leveling, Shangri-La Frontier. I'm still binging through that. We talk about One Punch Man, season 3. I guess that's more of a news thing. Then I give my incredibly definitive, the review everyone's been waiting for, I'm sure, account of True Detective season 4 towards the end of the show. Grant talks briefly about Shogun. We have some news and random things sprinkled throughout, including, early Dune reviews, Crunchyroll awards, and we wrap up on the Q&A, and it was quite a good Q, and we've got, hopefully, some good A's. So, with that, I bid you adieu, and enjoy the show. There, Grant.
Hello, David.
Are you feeling democratic, good sir?
Ooh, I can feel the freedom oozing from me.
For the love of liberty, we have returned.
Oh my god, a 2 week break, dude. We never do that.
No, awful.
I know.
We
I always
2 weeks.
Yeah, we were two because I think you had a thing, then I had a thing.
Yeah, fuck.
And every time we miss a week, I always come back and I'm like, hey, we're allowed because we're grown ups. And
yeah.
I'm going to be honest, it's much of the same this time. It's never planned. Mm. It's just like sometimes life happens, and it happens to you so violently that you cannot podcast. And that's what happened to both of us, sequentially, in a row.
It's weird. It's actually so bad. It's been, like, I'm not trying to be like, I don't know if you call this like zeitgeisty or like, you know, like I have not been around so many sick people since like the height of COVID. Like everyone I talk to is like so sick. And like, I'm like an abnormal amount of number. Like, and I feel like that's, you hear that all the time. Like, there's a thing going around. You always fucking hear that. Eh? Especially as like a parent, like, yeah, there's a bug going. It's like, fuck off. I don't want to fucking hear about it. Like, I know there is. I know it's out there. I don't want to hear about it. But like, actually, like, it's a crazy amount of people I know that are fucking sick right now.
Yeah. Same here. And it's just, I just could not shake it. And, wow, we're 2 minutes in, we're talking about being old, but I think like the big thing is like it just takes longer to recover now. Yeah, or it's illnesses and ailments in general just hit you differently, the closer you are to the end of your life. And we're in our mid-30s, so you know, we got probably a couple years left.
We are not mid-30s.
No, I'm kidding. Hey, you took that personally, eh?
A little bit.
Oh god, you're right. No, we're early 30s. That's good, right? Mm-hmm. That's
I'll take that. It's a vague number.
Yeah, it's vague. I don't feel good about it, to be honest with you. I would give... I'm trying to think, like, would you trade all the advantages that your early 30s give you to have one more year of your mid-20s?
Fuck no.
Yeah.
20s sucked, man.
That's true.
It was like, okay. But
hindsight's
like,
20/20, yeah, always, yeah, right? Yeah. I think the big thing about mid to late 20s is just, well, you probably can't relate, is just the absolute lack of consequences. And you're just, it's okay for you to be a person whose life is not together and like no one bats an eye. Like, oh, he's 25. He's going to figure it out. You know what I mean? But to be in that state, and I'm not in that state. I know that like we're both doing fine. You know what I mean? But I like the idea of it because to be a mess at like in your mid 30s is a much tougher look than being a mess at 25.
Yeah, it's borderline scary.
And sometimes, and again, I reiterate, we're not messes, but sometimes you just want to be a mess. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're like, I just want to phone it in for a week and just be a useless human. and I just
no, not be useless, be inefficient. I think that's the better route.
Inefficient, yeah, that's probably more accurate.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Dude, I don't even know.
So glad we're back. I missed. We say this every time. I think maybe it's even more so because we did. It has been 2 weeks, but like sitting like Tuesday night, you know, just being around. I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
You know, like you know, you're like hunched over, like fuck, like, yeah, it's.
Yeah, it's good. Was it two weeks? It was 2 weeks, dude.
No, because
no, I'm telling. I'm looking at the schedule. Really? It was 2 weeks. Yeah.
Damn.
We were, I think you were going to push it a day, and then I had something that day after, so we skipped your week. And then, oh, wait, am I crazy?
No, I'm pretty sure it's a week because I was sick the Tuesday, and we were going to push to Wednesday, and then you were sick the Wednesday. So we had, I'm pretty sure it's only been a week.
Wait, I'm looking, isn't this funny that we're doing this live? Okay, wait, now we have to know.
Now we have to figure it out.
Okay. Post show 112 published February 14th. Nothing on February 20th. Nothing on February 27th. We're now March 5th. 2 weeks.
Fuck. What happened? Anyways.
Oh, trip. I was in Miami. Trip. I was in my... Boom.
Word. That's what it was.
Another thing about being old is like you pay for those trips. You know what I mean? Like what... When I say pay, I mean like on the back end of every trip, it's like, oh, here's all these things. Like, hope your vacation was good. Now you're going to be inundated for a month because you took a week off.
Yeah.
Not actually. The
plane killed my back.
Yeah, the plane killed, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I had a tough flight.
Did you?
Air Canada. I don't know. I don't, like, you know me. I am a slight man. Some say truly afflicted with Napoleon syndrome.
Yeah. Backpack size. I love it.
Yeah, but if I had a hard time, I got really bad luck, and we had, like, a 6 a.m. flight international. And checking in, we checked in pretty early, but we both got stuck with middle seats. And like, again, I'm a, like I said,
wait, how many seats in like a section?
Three. So there's only one middle seat, but
oh, okay.
We were in different rows and we both got middle seats. Ooh, and like, we're two small people, and it was the worst flight that both of us have had in a long time. And I was like, I can't imagine being like a regular to slash larger sized human on an Air Canada flight. I couldn't believe how small it was.
Damn.
It was shocking. And the whole leg goes numb.
Yeah. Anyway. I remember the last time I took a, like a lengthy trip. It was a train. And actually this is a funny
incident. Didn't you take a 24-hour train once?
Yeah, dude, 24 hours. That's the one I'm speaking of. Yeah, I took a 24-hour train ride. And, it's funny because we were talking like the hubris of your 20s. And I was like, you know, I'm good. I can do 24 hours easy on a train. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? It get
absolutely insane. Yeah. It I remember is... getting to Halifax. I was like, never again. Like,
yeah, it's so weird too. It's so funny. Like, trains are such a weirdly specific one. And it goes back to the 20s thing that you just mentioned. Like, I remember, I think maybe interviewing in Toronto semi-frequently or like going up there to visit friends. Or there was a period, and I want to say, I don't know, 2016, let's say, or 17, where I was going to Toronto a lot. On the train. And I was like, this is so dope. I was like, I'm so businessy. Yeah. You know what I mean? You could drink on the way there. You could, like, do emails on the way back. And,
yeah, acting like you're doing, like, the New York to Boston train or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
And, like, yeah, dude, I'm a grown-up. I'm wearing an unstructured blazer. These people don't know that I'm an absolute deviant. But you do it. And you're like, oh, it's only 4 hours. It's easy. It's cost-effective. Love it. I had to do that train recently, and I was miserable. I was like, I can't believe... Really? I don't know why. I was like... I think it was just like, this is the 30s thing. I was like, when I was having knee issues, like in a particularly bad time.
Word.
And so it was just like, oh my God, just not being able to stretch my legs is killing me. I can't sleep as well because of that. That makes the trip longer. When you're in mid-20s, you're like, I'm going to slam two of these beers and like sleep for 4 straight hours. And it's like teleporting from one major city to another. And then in your early 30s, it was just a vastly different experience when you got a bum knee, you know what I mean, and you're approaching the end of your life. So it was, yeah, and I didn't dig it.
Chafilio.
Anyway, okay, well, we started this off democratically. Let's maybe just briefly mention Helldivers, and I want to start us off on a very negative note.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been playing so much of this.
Have you?
Yeah, it's so fun.
I'm hoping to be like good to go soon.
But I have an issue that I've seen threads that of other people having that in retrospect is actually like pretty significant, and I haven't seen any fixes for it so far. And you know, like, they're under it, they're like the biggest game on the planet right now, you know. Mm-hmm. They're high in demand.
Do you see the stat that came out today for them, or yesterday? Third week in a row the sales have increased.
Unbelievable. Good for
unheard
them.
Apparently unheard of. In there was a statistic they had, but like it's been a long time since a game has continued to grow like that.
You love to see people win, you know what I mean? I'm big on that. So that, with that said, though, and believe me, we're going to discuss all the wins and like all the ways that they're absolutely killing it, because it's very, very encouraging to see happen. But the issue I'm having is how, and maybe you'll know, but I haven't met anyone with a fix yet, is Helldivers has display names because it's a multiplayer game, right?
Sure.
And what it seems to do is it scrapes your Steam name by default. And it just uses your Steam name if you're on Steam. On PlayStation, completely different. I don't know how it works. But on PC...
Yeah, it uses just my gamer tag.
Yeah, which makes sense, right? It's pulling from somewhere else, which is what it's doing on PC.
Yeah.
And on Steam, your username by default is... If you don't set one, it pulls from your email address. So by default, so if your email address is firstname.lastname... then your username is going to be firstname.lastname. Mm-hmm. And I've since updated my username, but it doesn't seem to matter. So in Helldivers, just internet strangers are just seeing my full name on the internet. And it's exactly how my email address is structured. And I'm not like some like crazy, like terrified about privacy kind of person.
Sure.
But like my full name and email is just on broadcast to anyone and everyone I play Helldivers with, which is kind of nuts. And I see there's threads everywhere about other people with the same issue. And like, oh, it pulls from Steam. Try changing your Steam name. I've done that. No bueno.
Still nothing, eh?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's so funny because I'm not that I've been like anti-multiplayer games my whole life. I've been very like... and maybe it was like an unhealthy, you know, thing, but like I just only wanted to play with people I knew. So like anonymity online, I was like always make sure like, no, if you're not on my friends list, cannot see this, cannot see that. Mm-hmm. And for years I've always just been like very diligent of like people only see my gamer tag and da da da. And so like what you're going through right now just gives me like panic.
Yeah, it's not cool.
I don't like hearing that.
It's super not cool. I mean, like, yeah, it's just it's far from ideal. But that aside, I finally, you know, like a lot of bugs and whatnot, but yeah, I
god damn game, right, there's a lot of bugs.
Yeah, there's a lot of bugs, but this game's unreal.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest issue I've probably had is like disconnects or kicks or basically doing 90% of a mission and then something happening that ends up with me not getting any credit for it, which is like pretty frustrating. I played for like, I want to say 90 minutes the other day, which was like 3 to 4 missions, and I got credit for one.
Yeah, that's pretty irritating, but... the night we all played together, actually it was the last time I played it, we played all night long, walked away with nothing. Like, you and I played for hours. Like, you and I were up, like, quite late playing, and I just walked away with, like, nothing.
Yeah.
And I signed back in a couple of days later just to see, and nothing came through.
I think I got partial credit. I remember I signed it in the morning the next day, and there was, like, a couple things there, but definitely not what we should have had. But I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, it's
everyone should play it. Like,
are you on the Reddit community?
A little bit. I'm seeing stuff here and there. But
it's just funny, like... It's just neat seeing the whole community like mourn the loss of a planet or of a system, or you know, when updates are pushed and whatnot. I'm very, very curious to see how this game does medium to long term.
It's got some legs. Yeah. It's got some legs.
It's just such a good idea.
And it's so funny, you know, because right now like there's a lot of, I don't know if you've been seeing all this, but like WB right now, like across all movies and TV and games, they're kind of been like a punching bag, like I think deservedly right now. There's like some very, very strange decisions being made, and on the gaming side, asleep at the wheel is not even the right fucking term. It's just like no one cares. It's just, you know, all these companies like Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, like they all have monetization on the mind, right? Like,
yeah,
all the publishers, the designers, all that. It's like at the end of the day, people in the management and the corporate and all that, like, you know, they want to make their money and all. Like, I get that. But WB these past couple weeks, specifically since the launch of the most recent Suicide Squad game, and just how they bungled all that, and, like, WB kind of came out, I think, yesterday. It was either this morning or yesterday, saying, like, yeah, like, we're, you know, the AAA single-player market is volatile, and we want to get out of that. We want to get to, like, you know, shorter, smaller, monetized games. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, a route we want to look. And it's so funny, like, just how they're ignoring, like, all their immediate failures, which are what they, you know, they see, like, a single-player, like, semi-single-player game is, like, the problem.
Even yeah, I saw
around it, and it's just crazy, like the direct. So anyway, but you see what I think. Like, I feel bad for like a game like Helldivers, where, you know, there is some monetization, but it's just for flair. Like, it's PVE stuff. It's not like, you know, player versus player and all that. Like, you can spend money if you want to, but all these other companies see the success of a game like this. Like, oh yeah, that's what we should be doing. And I feel like there's gonna be, in the next couple of years, people are going to be chasing Helldivers a little bit.
For sure. People have short memories, right? They're like, oh, look what's working right now. Let's pivot immediately.
Yeah.
Very peculiar. But it's always fun to be part of, like, this big cultural phenomenon. Like, get in on something, and it's actually worth the hype. You can immediately see why it resonates with people. It's funny, like, it's such a good game, but you really got to wonder, like, how much of it is the comedic, satirical angle, Starship Troopers vibe. I just watched Starship Troopers on the weekend.
Did you really?
Oh my god, yeah, because I can't get enough of it, you know what I mean? And awesome. Dude, it's unbelievably close.
Yeah.
But I you gotta wonder, because they seem to pair actual video game stuff with a very legitimate theme, like, perfectly. Like, it never comes together like this. Like, yeah, bugs, and I get it, you know what I mean, but just like the execution of this game is just, it's just lightning in a bottle.
It's just, you know, it's one of those games where it's just elevated just a little bit, you know, where it's like, it's tongue-in-cheek, but it's still like, it's solid system, solid gameplay. Like, you know, it's not, you know, technically it's a pretty good technical showpiece, if you ask me. Like, the physics in the game are pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the just kind of like, you know, experiment A results in like experiment B. You know, like just like the tooling around you can kind of do. And you know, we were talking, you know, just off mic before, like their marketing, like their Twitter account is posting like official propaganda posters. Like, you know, for content updates, you know, like as if like, you know, you'd be walking on Super Earth at the supermarket. You're like, oh shit, like the new friggin', you know, walkable mech machine is going to be coming to this planet. See, or the factories are like burning overtime to get this friggin' update out. It, like, it's genius. I don't know.
It really is.
It's very smart.
They're staying in the pocket of like what they've created. It's like, yeah, never break character. Screw it. Like, people are so into it. Like I mentioned the Reddit community earlier, like people are like signing their posts, like, and like yours democratically, you know what I mean? Like it's just hilarious. Even like their loading screens, like there's a loading screen where you go to change settings or something, and the loading says please wait democratically. It's like, oh my god, like they put it everywhere. It's just so funny.
One of my favorite things from the game is if you actually go look in one of the storefronts, I think it's the section of items that you would pay like real money for, and it's just like costumes or whatever. But they have like fake customer reviews like generated for all the products, and it's like, you know, like, yeah, my second wife is gonna love this, you know, and it's like a review for like a knife, you know, like it's or something like that, or a sidearm, whatever it is. But
yeah, man,
very, very fun.
Love me some Helldivers. God, man, I don't even know where to start. Okay, how about we start here? Because it's topical, right? How about we start with, you know, the biggest movie on the planet right now?
Ooh.
I saw something this weekend.
Ah.
You're right, Grant. I saw Zone of Interest.
how sad were you at the end?
Which is not Dune. I don't know. Did you see Dune, by the way?
No. We're going Saturday.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to be able to see it this weekend. It's going to be tight. I mean, I need to see it.
Yeah, it's going to be in theaters for like a minute. So.
Yeah. But I did see Zone of Interest. And so you have not seen it, I presume?
Nope, it's on the list, though. Like, I'm going to try and get it done this week for Oscars.
Buddy, peculiar movie.
Yeah?
Peculiar. Ooh, that's
interesting. Peculiar. Okay. Yeah. Have you seen any of Jonathan Glazer's movies? Other than this? Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson. That's the common one people have seen.
Yeah. Long time ago, though. And I think, like, Half Asleep.
Yeah.
Anything else I would have seen?
What else did he do? Off the top of my head, it's the...
Yeah.
Is Under the Skin Jonathan Glazer? Pretty sure it is. See now. 2 30-year-olds fucking Googling. What did this director direct?
I got him here. Okay. Oh, he's nominated for 2 Oscars.
Yeah, man. Soda Interest has got some hype for it.
Jeez, Louise. Known for Under the Skin, Zone of Interest, Birth, Sexy Beast.
Oh, Sexy Beast. I've seen
First that. Light. Yeah, I don't know. Apple Watch Series 4 Flight commercial. Yeah, dude. This guy is a heavy hitter. I'm just playing. But just peculiar. You know, you and I have talked a lot about the show Don't Tell.
Yeah.
As of late, like, method of storytelling, this is a show Don't Tell movie. Probably 80% show. I'm not even kidding. I'm wondering if there's specific things I should mention to you, but it's like, I don't want to, like, taint your experience going in and have you looking for stuff. You know what I mean? So I'll just say, I recommend you see the movie. I recommend everybody see the movie. But I will also say, like, there are artsy movies like this where it's like, oh, not enough people are going to see this. Everybody should. You know what I mean? Like, you're... I don't know, Grave of the Fireflies type shit, like, especially with this kind of subject matter.
Sure.
I don't know if this is, like, in that stratosphere for me. Like, I'm happy that I saw it, and I'm definitely happy that I saw it in a theater, because, like, the theater just really is where these kind of stories belong. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if this, like, I don't know if it blew me away. It left me feeling both upset and bewildered, which might be part of what they were going for, to be honest. Okay. It's a very intentional movie. Like, there's nothing in there by accident. It's just very deliberate. But just peculiar. And we'll talk more spoiler territory and more, like, specific things that I want to point to once you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am glad I saw it, and I highly recommend you see it in the theater.
Fucking A. Well, we'll see. Hopefully I have the time to see it in the theater before Sunday. Not that it matters. Like, I'm going to see it no matter what. Whether, you know, it doesn't have to be for Oscar night, but
yeah,
I would like to see it prior to Oscar night. I got a busy week to catch up on all those. Fuck.
Yeah. And then obviously, like, you know, neither of us have seen Dune, but I'm sure both of us aware that its reception has been, like, being heralded as, like, you know, one of the best movies ever. It's a slam dunk.
I have been avoiding it.
Oh, sorry.
Reviews. No. Just I talked to Bronson. He's my, like, you know, I was like, dude, like, just brass tacks me. You know, I don't want much, but he liked it. He liked it a lot. He said he liked it. We did, like, hit me with, like, a couple. I'm not going to say which number. He hit me with a couple numbers, and he, like, it was like 0.5 more than the first one. So
interesting.
That was and his point was, which I think was, like, not everyone's issue with the first movie, but you, by the end of the movie, everyone kind of had the feeling of, oh, well, they clearly did all the legwork to set, like, to pay off.
Oh, it's a setup. Yeah, Dune 1 feels super set up. Like,
and, you know, I think we all knew that.
Yeah.
So to hear, like, you know, that the payoffs are relevant in the second one, is like, okay, well, that's good. That's what I want to know. I just don't want them to be like, and a third one. But he has said this week that Dune 3 is not his next movie. It, like, there will be something in between.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Because they have announced, Dune 3 early last year, I believe.
Yeah.
They said it was, like, greenlit.
I didn't know that.
Just based off, like, early Dune 2 stuff. They're like, fuck yeah, like, you're getting the third one. And he signed on to do it, but he has come out in the interviews this week saying, like, there's going to be something in between. So.
Okay, I think I had seen that he had started maybe writing Dune 3.
Mm.
But I didn't know that there was going to be a movie in between. That's not the end of the world, though. I mean, Yeah, no. A little bit of time and some distance is not a bad thing. I will say, just because I haven't read the book,
you should,
you know, this is one of those things though, right? Like, Dune 2 is here. I saw Dune 1, like, going in cold. See, I'm rusty. Yeah. It has been 2 weeks. And, like, I thought about at that time, you and I had talked about, like, oh, should I try and get the book in? I didn't have time. And I was like, no, you know what? Fuck it. Like, it's Denis Villeneuve.
Yep.
I trust him. I'm going to go in.
Good hands. Yeah.
And then after I read it, or after I saw it, I was like, man, I don't know. That felt, to me, like a slam dunk. Maybe I just wait, and then I read it after.
Yeah.
And so I waited, and but with that point in mind, I was super not stoked about, like, just the spoiler content, even on the posters. Like, even if you try to go Zero Dark Grant, like, all the images are pretty, like,
oh yeah,
look what happens. And it's like, I probably could, I can't,
well, yeah, I've read the book, so, like, I don't really, yeah, that's the one I don't mind seeing, because, you know, I've read it, but.
But should I talk about what's on the posters and shit?
Yeah, let's say it's like nothing new to me, unless like they drastically make something new. But
I mean, I don't know. It's Paul, like, leading the army, riding sandworms, calling sandworms. It's like, what the fuck, man? Like, I figured it was gonna go well.
Yeah, it's fucking jihad time.
I figured he was gonna go there, but, like, I didn't know he was gonna, like, it was gonna happen in this movie this way. I don't know. I was like, let me maybe enjoy the build. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes and no. I would not beat yourself up too much about that.
Okay, because you feel like there's many more surprises and fun things.
I think there's context for all that, and I don't think it's necessary. It's not 100% what you think.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Like, it's not spoiler. That's you know what you're seeing isn't spoiler. What I'm saying, it really isn't spoilerish. It's just kind of like, you know, you really think about stuff in the first movie and, like, the mind and this and that and, like, visualization, like, it's I wouldn't worry about too much. No, but that's the thing. After this one, you can read the book, because, like, Dune 3 is not going to be the first book.
Yeah, because there's, like, a third, because the third movie would cover what then?
Well, yeah, here we go. This is really, it gets sticky, because, like, there, I think there's 6 in total and maybe 9, but I think, like, the last three, like, even, like, Dune fans are kind of like, it, like, it's not fan fiction, but, like, Frank didn't write that one kind of thing. Yeah. But, like, the first 6 are, like, a huge deal. And, like, the main story. So, I think what they're going to try and do is, like, kick off, like, another 2-parter for the second book, maybe.
Oh, God.
And, like, probably cap it off there. Because the third book is borderline, like, I don't think they have the fucking cojones to, like, do what happens in the third book, huh. To be completely honest with you. It gets fucking weird. And, like, it's
Frank Herbert too? Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he did the original 6. Okay. And then I think his estate, like, I think his son or, like, hired pen, you know, authors kind of rounded out, like, through his notes or whatever, but I think the 7, 8, 9 are, like, lesser loved, I'm pretty
sure. Why is this conversation making me want to read Berserk, of all things? Anyway, God, I
was staring
those.
At a copy in the bookstore the other day, and I was like, should I just fucking do it? And I was like, no, I'm reading One Piece. I gotta get through One Piece.
I want to buy those big ones, the big black ones.
I think you have to, because apparently there's like revised art in some of them, yeah, too. Like, you get, it's like the one to buy.
And I keep dropping that it'd be a great birthday or Christmas gift, and nothing. And I can't buy that myself, dude. So I don't know. Okay, I don't even know where to start here. I just want to bring up one thing, just because, like, we're in movie territory.
Yeah.
Did you see the Deadpool trailer?
No, I'm avoiding that.
Okay. It'll be the first MCU movie we see in theaters in, like, a long time, I think.
I would like to see that one with you.
Yeah, we should see that together, review it on the pod.
Lot pod? Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, it looks good. We can do whatever you want. Is there anything else movie-related that I wanted to mention? Oh, dude, have you seen Kumail Nanjiani's on, like, a press tour for something? And he's getting asked a lot about Eternals.
No, I haven't seen any of that.
Is it Michael?
Oh, the one about him, he was so butthurt. Or not butthurt, Michael, like, the projections were not. Yes.
You saw that clip?
I saw that. That was a couple of weeks ago, no?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting to hear his perspective. It turns out, like, everything you were hearing was also quite right about, like, Marvel was pretty confident that thing was going to fucking hit.
Yeah.
And,
they were convinced. They had Chloe Zhao. They thought Chloe Zhao was just like a guaranteed ticket.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, like the meddling we did has nothing to do with like her product. Like, you know, that's on her. I don't know. It's just the gaslighting of like everyone involved in that. I kind of feel bad for everybody. But
yeah, Chris Evans came out this week. Someone was asking him about like superhero fatigue and stuff. And he was like, he said something about like, I think they're hard to make. That's why there aren't many good ones as of these lately.
Well, they aren't well.
Not yeah. Well. I don't, Aquaman I don't know. 2 ended its run with $443 million worldwide. Take making it the 8th DCEU movie in a row to lose money at the box office.
8th in a row? Jesus yeah. Christ.
Pretty interesting. I'm very curious to see how this whole reboot of the DCEU goes. I'm telling you, dude, my early, and remember this, we have receipts. My early prediction that James Gunn's Superman movie is going to bomb, I think it's becoming more and more likely.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. Not that it matters, but, like, the, there was, like, a very weird, I don't know if it was, like, a PR thing or what, but, like, just this whole thing about the renaming of the movie, of, like, dropping the legacy.
Yeah.
And his, like, I trust James Gunn less and less now. Like, his, like, he used to be, like, a very, like, you know, very vocal and, like, kind of, you know, like, the everyman, you know? He kind of felt like one of us, you know? Like, oh, this is what I don't like, and I make these kind of movies, and da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, at this from the second he got involved with the DC stuff, like, everything that comes out of his mouth is like, oh, like you're a puppet, dude.
They
like,
made him, I mean, they made him, what the hell, co, is it, what the hell is Kevin Feige's title? He's not co-CEO, oh, yeah. Or he,
yeah, the boss, whatever.
He's co-runner of the whole, mm. project, and now, like, yeah.
Creative control, or creative... Yeah. Officer,
but he has he's answering a lot questions that are a lot larger. He's clearly dealing with like a broader thing and budgets, and that he's not just a director on a movie anymore, right?
No.
And you can see like the significant change that has brought out. And you know, I get it, he's, you know, he's fucking defensive because people are coming at him all day. I'm surprised he engages as much as he does.
Well, that's his own fucking problem.
That is definitely his own problem.
Yeah, I don't know. And Hollywood people. Just makes Hollywood me laugh. You see the tweets and just like, you know, the half written from the heart, half written from the lawyer's office. And it's like, all of you are freaking bandits. Like,
yeah, dude. Yeah. Whatever. Should get, you just need a big star. You know what you need? Need Tom Cruise to start starring in more auteur-driven movies.
Fucking A.
Did you see that headline?
Which one?
That was a headline. Tom Cruise.
Tarantino one?
It was the headline that came out was like Tom Cruise wants to star in more auteur driven movies, and then the next day it was like in talks for Tarantino, and then the next day it was like confirmed starring in Alexander Iñárritu's next film.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I don't know that's if that's still true, but that was like the sequence of events. It's about a Scientology superhero that saves the planet. No, I'm kidding. And purges all thetans. I'm kidding. I don't know. I don't even know if that's accurate. But I did. The Iñárritu thing is true.
I would love to see that. I hope that comes to fruition.
That'd be tight. Okay, what do we talk about, dude?
You want to talk some anime?
No.
Not much. It was pretty... Other than... You watch Free Run?
Yeah, caught up. You?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty tight, eh?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, you know, maybe this is like a... Like an anime fan problem. And maybe it was a little greedy of me, but I felt like by the end of the episode, it was like, you know, what they showed up, like the action and the, you know, visually what they showed in some parts of the episode.
Oh, man.
Were truly stellar. Like, just...
Stellar is the word, yeah.
And by the end of the episode, I felt a little guilty saying it, and I was like, you know, because Corinne, this is now like a weekly watch, like the whole family watches.
Oh, really?
Like, Corinne is like, fuck, like she wants to go back and rewatch all the stuff she missed.
It's that good. I had Sam watch the pilot the other day. She was pissed about it. She's like, isn't this show on currently? I was like, yeah, but it's that good.
Yeah, it's so good. But I, like I said out loud, I was like, I kind of feel like, you know, they held out on us. Like, I feel like they could have done more.
Yeah.
And I felt bad saying that for what they did, because it was so like explosive and like... You know, a truly beautiful animation, but I did kind of like feel like fuck, man, like you really couldn't. But again, they're gonna tease up next episode because like the fight isn't done there, like they're still in the thick of the dungeon, which is I did have to remind myself of that. But
I wonder if that. I'm very curious if there is another twist to the end of the second challenge, because remember the timing, right? Because you had confirmed there's what, 28 episodes.
Yeah, 28.
So, it really depends on timing and like the pace. Like, do they want to wrap up this season with just this last second challenge being done, or are they going to try and force, because there's three, right?
I think this is the last.
We're talking about episode 25 of Free Rent, by the way, for the audience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
So I think episode 26 is going to be the wrap up of the dungeon.
Yeah.
And then maybe like 4 or 5 minutes into the next one of like getting out, wiping the dust off, going to like ceremony, whatever it may be. And I think we'll have one last like the group, the gang's back on the road kind of thing. Like, you know, kind of core one stuff. And then, you know, kind of teeing up for what's come next. But I think next episode, because they have teed up, there's still, like, the dungeon boss. And then also, like, the rest of the mimics are kind of, or not mimics, the copycats are coming. So, and they put so much effort into, like, getting rid of the positions. Like, they are going to do that. I'm almost certain.
True.
So, but, yeah. Solo Leveling, talking about fucking holding out on us, like ultimate blue balls with fucking Solo Leveling, dude. I was fucking choked.
Yo, did you see it was the most disliked episode on Crunchyroll?
This most recent one or the
7.5, the recap.
Yeah.
The recap. How funny is that though? That's kind of funny.
But do you know what's worse is we get a week of a recap, which I did know was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I dodged it. And then, but like all, like literally all week, I'm really into Solo. Like I really, I'm full turnaround, you know, for weeks now I have been. Like I'm good.
Yeah.
Like I really like this show. All week I was like, I can't wait for Saturday. I can't wait for Saturday. Like I really just want to see what they're going to do. Because there's like only 4 episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see. And then we get to this, and I understand it is kind of an important episode because it's kind of teeing up. To me, it's more teeing up season 2 stuff than it is like the rest of this arc, which is kind of annoying in retrospect.
How long do we have left?
We have, I guess, 3 episodes?
Oh,
or 9, 10, 11, 12. No,
everything is fucking 12.
Four. Yeah, we're right, right. Freeman spoiled us, dude. And
every now and then you get spoiled by an anime that gives you an actual season at once.
Yeah, so, but like, there's just, we had that week of like the recap, and then we have like sit through like another like 24 minutes of like, fuck, man, like, is no one going to get cut? Like, you know, like, are we going to, like, where's the action? You know, I want to see the juice, because that's the show. It was marketed as like a fucking, like a power shonen, you know, let's fucking fight. And it's just, you know, empty. Like, we got nothing. Like, again, I know it was all set up, and, you know, we're going to jump right into, you know, I think this next episode, I think this next, like, these last 4 episodes are going to be pretty fucking dark.
Like,
they got that crew back together, which is just, was very ominous.
They definitely didn't do that by accident. It definitely feels like we're going in for, like, a round two of a traumatic experience. Mm.
But, yeah, I don't know. I was just kind of, like, Saturday night, I was, like, super stoked. I was, like, fucking, like, you know, let's dive into it. I had my pops and freaking, you know, I'm ready to go. Let's turn on, you know, headphones are on.
I think I got it worse though, because I didn't know that 7.5 was a recap episode. And I was sick, and I was like, oh my god, this will, like, I'll binge.
It's all I got.
You know, I was like, I'm all on the couch. I'm like, oh fuck it, dude, I'm under the heated blanket. Like, screw it, I'll throw this on. This is gonna inject some lifeblood into me, and it's a recap episode. I was like, this is dirty. They did me dirty.
I am chilled to the bone.
I will say, like, from, you know, I do reliably have a path out now, because I still have like a bank of Shangri-La Frontier episodes that I'm just not motoring through.
How far are you now?
I just last night I watched episode 10. So Sunraku just beat the clown spider.
Oh, okay. Oh shit. Wow. Okay.
So I slowed down, I think, when we were on vacation or something.
Yeah,
And then I just picked it up back up recently. And then, like,
to get to the juice there shortly.
Yeah, so he beat the clown spider, and then, like, two of his friends that he plays other games with.
Yeah.
The one Pencil Knight wants him.
Pencil Gun, yeah.
They want him to, the three of them, to fight one of a different unique than the one he's encountered. And it feels, like, ominous.
That's the
arc. He doesn't have all the information. Sounds interesting. And we also learned that if an NPC dies, like his bunny, it dies permanently.
I must have missed that detail.
Yeah, that was like a big reveal in that episode. So that's interesting. It's funny though, like, number one, like, you, this was a great recommendation. If you like solo leveling, definitely go watch Shangri-La Frontier.
Yeah, very good back-to-back shows.
It is interesting, though, that, like, I don't imagine a lot of people are watching both in tandem. Well, no, that's not true, right? Because Shangri-La is on right now, isn't
Sundays.
It?
Sundays. Yeah, Sundays and solo leveling's on Saturdays.
What I was going to say was, I feel like the best way to get bang for your buck is, like, watch them at different times of the year. Because I feel like they're both so good. But they do kind of...
Spreading that feeling out, yeah.
Exactly. They kind of bleed over. Sometimes I get confused. I'm like, oh, shit, which one is which again? Oh, didn't he get a new weapon? I'm like, oh, no, that's in the other one.
They kind of strat... It's funny, because they scratch such different itches in the same genre.
Yeah. Right?
Like you have... You kind of have... In solo leveling, funnily enough, you have, like, the ultra-overpowered, but, like, clearly newbie-type player.
Yeah.
Figuring out the systems, like, oh, what does this do? And then you have... the opposite, like, you know, the kind of like, you know, the more aloof but like super hardcore gamer who knows, like, just knows that, like, the minutiae of games are essentially the same across, like, all games, right? And it's like, oh, this probably does this, or, you know, like the two different types of people playing the game, you know, in quotations, game for solo leveling. But I don't know, it's two awesome shows. I still cannot get over how good Shangri-La Frontier looks at all times. Like, not even the actions, it's so consistent, like, and not even just, like, okay consistent, like, it is great consistent animation, like, it's,
agreed.
And then, you know, when it dials up, it just, it's like a 10.
Yeah.
But,
I just like the world building.
I'm so excited for you. The world building is good, and, like, you're, like, no exaggeration, you're getting the best shit so far.
Oh, really?
The show is coming.
It's ahead?
Yeah. Yeah, introducing the two friends was a huge boon to the show. They add, like, so much life.
Like, oh, like the two people that he's gonna get team up with?
Yeah. Nice. Those, like, yeah, like, his real-life friends, like, kind of playing the game. And, like, just the three of them will have such... It gets to the point where, kind of like how we would, like, fuck with each other online, like, in-game and all, like the smack-talking. But, like, it's all playful. We're all playing... Yeah. It's, like, friendly fucking with each other. They kind of, like, not that they dial up, it just kind of, like, appears naturally. It's like, oh, that is, like, a thing they do, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, though, I don't know, it's, there's multiple times in the show, continuously, I'm surprised with how accurately they kind of, and not in, like, the edgelordy way, but, like, it's just like, oh, my God, like, that was me at 17, you know? Like,
yeah.
That was, you know, Dave at 17. That's how we talked. That's how we did, you know? Like, we timed it up. We, you know, it's, I don't know, it's... And, but it also hits, like, a younger generation, too. Like, there is some stuff I'm like, oh, I guess that is kind of, like, how it is now. Like, I'm aware of it, but I'm not a part of it kind of thing. So, it's, I don't know, it's insightful and forward-thinking. I don't know.
Being really, old, really, dude.
Fucking A, man.
Because we're aged.
Yeah.
Anything else, anime-wise?
Actually, we saw that, I sent you that link this morning. Apparently, Jujutsu Kaisen, the Blu-ray... they've officially announced, and they're doing, like, a screening event in Japan. They're going to have the fully finished episode 17 of season 2.
Yeah, that's the Sukuna versus Mahara fight, right?
Yeah.
That was the one that got, like, the most criticism, or I don't want to say, criticism and then outcry from the actual animation staff about it being incomplete, right?
There was all the quotes of, like, only 30% of, like, the intended vision was, like, completed, and, like, apparently, you know. So my curiosity is, are they just going to make that? Do you think they'll, like, in good faith, just make that public online, or, like, update Crunchyroll? Or is that just going to be, like, you know, locked to, like, a $80 Blu-ray forever? Until, like, someone rips it and put it online.
Yeah, I mean, my guess would be the latter. Because I know... Just because, you know, we've talked about this on the show before. Like, you know, Attack on Titan and just One Punch Man. There's some well-documented cases of, like, the Blu-ray having a lot of improvements and edits over the originally streamed versions. And they never port those over to streaming. Yeah. Now, in this instance, it's like, you know... Maybe it's such a drastic change that they will, but I have a funny feeling that they won't.
Well, it's interesting because they are having an event, like a viewing event for it.
Yeah.
Like, it's being marketed and advertised to, like, get your tickets now, like, almost like the Demon Slayer.
So, like, in a
thing.
Theater? Like, on a projector somewhere?
I believe so, in Japan, yeah. Like, it's, like, I think it's going
to... Even then, that's a
My understanding is it was going to be on TV, like, it was, like, a rebroadcast, and then... So, like, maybe.
If
like, a sub situation, like a Crunchyroll, you know... You know, because it goes live there, then we get it. I'm almost wondering if it's like,
maybe
we also get an update to that.
That'd be interesting. If they do, I would obviously rewatch that again. I love that episode you know, even when it aired, but it was just like, you know, there was just clearly like some messiness.
You could feel it. You could see it. Like, you could see like the almost like test drawings, you know, like it was like storyboards.
I mean, at points. You know, one thing we actually haven't even brought up, but I don't, we don't have to like go through the whole thing, is like the they won best anime of the year at the Crunchyroll Awards.
Sure.
Yeah, Demon Slayer won best animation, which for its weakest season, which is interesting. The Crunchyroll, like, I think, and I'm starting to think rightly so, that the Crunchyroll Awards get quite a bit of criticism.
I've never watched them.
I just noticed that they get quite a bit of criticism. I think, like, the way their timing works is weird. Like, Chainsaw Man won for Best New Anime. And it's like...
What?
Yeah, right? And it's like, wait, what? The timing, the period in which they accept nominations for and that they're evaluating on is very, very odd.
Is that not a 2022 show?
Yeah. Because I think it started in 22, but technically finished in 23, maybe? Maybe that's what happened?
Oh, that's bullshit.
So it's just very... it's very odd, and I think Attack on Titan won, like, best score. I don't know. They had a very peculiar awards, but I will say in Jujutsu Kaisen's defense, despite it being, like, the take that everybody has, Season 2 is pretty absurd. Oh, no, this is the thing, dude. Here's what it is that they won best anime, right?
Yeah.
But the way their time period works is that the cutoff finished at the Hidden Inventory arc. So they're only supposed to judge it based off of that arc, and they still gave it best anime of the year. And some people were pissed about that. They're like,
well, there's some good shit in there.
There's some good shit in there for sure. But
Dave,
like,
the finale to season one of Chainsaw Man aired December 28th, 2022.
Yeah, I don't know. They won best new
anime. Unless they dip back into like November or something. But.
Yeah, they won best new anime. Pretty weird, eh?
I'm good for Chainsaw Man, but I don't know. That seems...
Just kind of ass backwards.
Ugh, fucking Crunchyroll. Goddamn. Did you see, actually, speaking of One Punch Man, you see the season 3 officially announced?
Yeah, but I never watched season 2. I heard it got dumped on pretty bad.
Well, guess what? Season 3 is being done by the same studio as season 2.
Was the issue that they switched from season 1 to season 2?
Well, it was, I think Madhouse did the original. So, like, the like Frieren team, or Frieren studio, did, like, the first season, which was, like, you know, like, ball out hit.
Yeah.
But JC staff, which... You know, I don't know, like, people, I don't know a lot of their work all that well, like, people goof on them pretty hard, but, I don't know, like, because the thing is, like, the big deal is, like, the director is staying, and he's, like, he did seasons 1, 2, and he's going to be doing 3, like, he's, like, very involved in the series.
Yeah.
And he was, like, apparently, I was reading online this week, like, was single-handedly, like, doing, like, the key animations for, like, all the good shit that was happening in season 2, like, he was doing by himself.
Jeez.
And, like, the rest of the, you know, like, the, all the other stuff didn't look all that great. It's just kind of, like, Reddit conjecture or whatever, but yeah, so I don't know. But the thing people are worried is, like, the stuff that is going to happen in season 3 is, like, all-time, like, visual moments from the manga. So, it's, like, kind of like, oh, shit, like, are they just gonna not try, or are they gonna try and, like, I've seen the stills, like, people posted it. It's funny, too. I remember when it first got leaked, like 6 or 7 months ago, that, you know, it was coming. And, like, you know, people were just posting, like, pictures in the thread of, like, this is supposed to take place. And it's just, like, this giant shot of, like, space.
Okay.
And some being, I don't know if it's a being or a planet or a ship or whatever it is. And the detail on it is berserk levels of, like, beauty. It is, super detailed.
We gotta buy Berserk, dude. We should do... I know I'm derailing this. But we should just both buy, like, that the volume 1 and, like, do a review of it.
Yeah,
I do. Because every time we mention...
You don't need to twist my arm to buy a manga, dude.
Anyway, yeah, so it sounds like it's on a very grandiose scale, and people are concerned about the animation quality coming off.
I think there's some apprehension for sure.
S2, yeah.
Yeah.
Shit, I was going to say something. Oh, yeah, is the guy who does One Punch Man the same dude who did Mob Psycho?
The author is.
Not
the art. Yeah. Not the art.
Oh, okay. So he wrote both, but he didn't draw.
So the manga for Mob Psycho did the art and the story.
Uh-huh.
but he I think we've talked about this before, is like not a good artist, and like that was kind of like the thing. Like Mob Psycho in the manga kind of looks like shit. And it's kind of intentional.
Really, but they really ran with it in the animation, I guess, and like
yes, exactly. Kind of really kind of played on like what it was, and that was like his apparently like a big part of when it was getting, you know, the adaptation of like make this not look like what I did, like sure. Really go for it kind of thing. So then when he started doing One Punch Man, he teamed up with an artist, like, who he was a fan of.
And, oh,
like,
that's cool.
So he was like, you do this. And, like, I think the only contribution he had is, like, just make Saitama look like Mob.
Yeah, and, that's pretty funny. You know?
But, yeah. A little backstory. So, I don't know. I've heard, like, the One Punch Man, it was so funny. We when Leanne and I went to the movie theater in Ottawa last, we popped over to the Indigo. We went to, you know, we're looking at the manga section. And there was a group of, I don't know, maybe like cringe, like preteen, you know, middle, you know, teen, like definitely under 16.
Yeah.
And there was probably like 8 kids, and all of them were just like ripping through volumes of One Punch Man. There's like, you know, speed reading, getting up, putting it back, grabbing another one, going back to the table. And I was just like, whoa, like this is like not the one I was expecting. Demon Slayer, right? Like, these kids are like ripping through One Punch Man, and I was just like, oh yeah, that's interesting to see. Like it is big, you know. You see people talking about it all the time,
yeah.
And just has like this kind of bit of a scar on its face just from that second season. Like it really kind of killed some trajectory for it. But
big break between S2 and 3 too. I mean, I guess there was also a significant break between Mob Psycho S2 and 3.
Like, yeah, no, I suppose
two,
so.
3 years, right?
I think, no, season two, I was living here when season two was airing.
Of?
Mob Psycho.
Okay, yeah.
And I remember watching One Punch Man week to week at the old house, so that was like at least 5+ years ago.
That's pretty nuts.
Almost 5 years ago? Yeah, 5. Break. Yeah. Fuck.
Okay, there's one other thing I have to mention. Because I filmed a whole TikTok/Instagram reel that has yet to be published at Part Time Otaku Podcast, but it'll be out this week, giving my very brief thoughts on True Detective season 4. And then I filmed this before we both got sick. And I was like, oh, you know, we talk about it in depth on the podcast. And this is me attempting to talk about it in depth on the podcast. I just want to give you my thoughts.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe. I assume you haven't seen it, right?
No.
Do you think you will?
No.
It's tough, man. It's also super weird what's happening. Like, I haven't felt this kind of confused and, like, befuddled by a show and its reception versus my own experience in, like, a long time. Like, normally when people hate on a thing, you can, you know, whether or not they're being overly critical, you're like, but I do get where the angst is coming from, right?
Sure.
It's like, you know, like, again, I hate to bring up the example, but it's such a good example. It's like the last Game of Thrones show, right? It's like, that was worse than what they had done previously. But it wasn't the worst thing on the planet, right? Like, there are people being like, that's literally unwatchable 1 out of 10. It's like, okay, well, yeah, you might be, you may be being a little hyperbolic. It is worse than what they did before. But it's not like, you know, it's not unwatchable. The True Detective thing is weird because HBO is claiming it's the most watched season that they've done, and they've renewed it for another season under the same showrunner.
Yeah.
Really? And it's like certified fresh. I don't know if this has changed in the last couple of weeks, but like, you know, Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb scores were like solid. And yet any community I can find that is discussing it in depth hates it. And they hate it so passionately, and they are pointing out so many inconsistencies that it's like the two things aren't meshing super well. And even like some of the mainstream traditional media that are covering it are like generally positive. But then like Forbes put out this huge review on it, and the title of the review was like an embarrassingly sad and bad way to end a show or something. Like, it's just so weird seeing how divided people are and how they're reviewing it. I guess I'll just give you my quick thoughts on it, which are that I think it's okay to good. Like, it's between a 5 and a 6. Damn. But I think you're hoping for like a 7 or an 8, maybe like,
yeah,
Maybe it's between a 6 and a 7, but that's just like a big leap between a 7 and an 8 show. You know what I mean?
See, I would, a 7, I would just say is a straight up, it's a good show. That's like my line. Like if it's a 7, it's just a good show, you know? But like if there's, you know, I don't, it's funny because like I was talking to Devin about it at dinner.
Did he watch?
He watched it all, and I was like, he asked me, I was like, no, I haven't. And he's like, are you going to? And I saw the smirk on his face. I'm like, no, but like, I'm not.
What did he say?
Hit me with it. And he was like, I didn't fucking like it at all.
Yeah.
And he, you know, both him and his partner. And I was just kind of like, oh shit. And he was like, yeah, I like this less than season 3, and I fucking hated season 3. I was like, whoa, holy shit. I was like, okay. All right.
I think, I've said this a bunch, but like the cinematography on it is like top notch. It's the best the show has done, like from a visual perspective.
Sure.
I think like, you know, they're afforded like a lot of wins there because of like where they decided to shoot it, how they shot it. It's at night. It's in Alaska or up north. They made some really, and I don't feel bad bagging on this, like just straight up dumb decisions. CGI-ing in the pilot, like, dude, there's like a pointless, like they CGI a bear and a herd of elk, like for no reason. Like,
was that the clip I sent you, the Portlandia clip?
Yeah, so bad. It's like, what are you doing? You had told me too. It's funny because you had a line on this about like, you know, the season is a little more horror-y, and a little more supernatural, and that's true. And like that was like a welcome addition, but I think they went a little too far with like that. You can bring horror elements and a mystery and it work quite well. But I think the moment you start intentionally not closing plots because you can chalk them up to the supernatural factor, that's like a bad look. And there are, I want to say, over a dozen scenes, setups, subplots that start that have no meaningful explanation of any kind.
Huh.
And there are a couple that are like main character related that at least at the end, they're like, they give you kind of a, here's your ambiguity ending. Right. And it's like, choose your own adventure. And that's okay. I don't think audiences hate that. I mean,
sure.
You know, it's like, oh, did they really do this? Or is that meant to be like, mystical? And I don't like that, but at least they give you like the choice. But there's like at least a dozen questions that they don't even give you an inkling, that are just absolutely unexplainable.
That's a bummer.
And I can't state enough that how clunky some of the dialogue is. And I think I mentioned this to you before, but like part of the magic to season one, and you can't not mention season one because everything is in the shadow of it.
Yeah,
but like part of the magic was like the chemistry between the characters, right? And how good the stars were at character acting. Like, you know, McConaughey gets a lot of the props, but like Woody Harrelson.
Oh, Woody fucking showed up.
Unbelievable performance. And you just care. You care about the characters. You care about what they're going through, whether they're good, bad, or in between.
One of the best hypocrites on TV I've ever seen was just Woody Harrelson in that
such
show.
A human character, right? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a lack of chemistry, if it's poor writing, poor execution, entirely miscast, but everything about the character, the relationship between the two leads, I almost don't like any of it. And that's like a big fucking problem. Like,
yeah, Devin did point out he didn't enjoy any. He's like, anytime Jodie Foster is on the screen, I like was not enjoying the show.
Yeah, and it's when you're having a hard time deciding, is Jodie Foster's performance bad, or is it everything she says is bad, and like which is the issue, or is it both? That's like you're in a room with no good answers.
Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow.
And there's a whole like subsect part of the internet that it's like, oh, you're just blaming them because it's like two female leads. It's like, no, dude, I promise you,
get out of here.
Because of course that has to be an issue, right? Like, of course it has to be an angle, and it's like, nah, man, like that's not the problem here. It's the storytelling. So yeah, big disappointment, and I just think it's just confusing that they're gonna do more. I don't know. The whole thing is confusing. I think they should have just changed the name, but like then you don't get to leverage the brand, which they clearly wanted to do, and also apparently people watched it. So like, what the fuck do I know?
You know what
but
I mean?
Like, okay, is this like a Netflix thing where they say, like, we assure you, like, a lot of people watched it, but we won't tell you how many people watched it. Like, is this HBO kind of playing the streaming
I think
game like
saying,
everyone else now?
They're saying, I think they put out numbers, but it's also like, oh, it's the most streamed version of True Detective. But it's like, it's also like, yeah, like, streaming numbers a decade ago for season one didn't exist.
Yeah.
So it's like, you did HBO Max didn't exist. Yeah. You know what I mean? I watched that on demand on my Bell PVR. So.
Wow. Rip.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Maybe they're, like, to your point, like, kind of futzing and kind of cherry-picking their stats, but they're saying they're renewing it under the same showrunner, so I don't know. The thing is that, like, it's not shocking when we come on this show and we talk about, like, here's a thing that's out there and I don't like it and here are my reasons and I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade.
Mm.
But most of the time, I think, like, you get where the audience is coming from, you know what I mean? This one is just confusing because there seems to be an absurdly intense, overly critical look at it from, like, the community that I've always watched True Detective from. And then, like, yeah. HBO being like, this is so good, we're doing it again. And it's yeah, like,
we fucking rule.
I don't understand. Like, I just don't. I don't get where the, I don't get where the rubber meets the road. I don't know. I don't see where the disconnect is. And, like, that doesn't happen often where, like, you know what I mean? You can usually at least see why people love a thing.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's like, is it dead internet theory? Like, I haven't met a person who actually liked it yet. But I keep hearing that it did well. So it's just been a super confounding experience.
Yeah, I've heard, it's funny, I was working in someone's home this week and they were watching it. And I watched the guy like fucking like fuck this shit and like turned it off, and I just could only laugh. I was like, oh my god, like, oh, this is just like literally. I've only talked to this customer and then fucking Devin, the only people I've heard, like, and then the internet. But the internet's always fucking angry. But you know what the internet's not angry about, and this can be the last thing we talk about. Mm. Just a quick thing, because I refuse to get even remotely in depth with you until you have watched any of it.
What?
Shogun, dude.
Oh, is it good?
Oh, yeah, brother. Yeah, we should be watching that, like, week to week.
Really?
I don't know how long it's going to be, but it's...
So how many did they put out?
I think it was two initially, and actually I think tonight is the third episode. Okay. Or right now, the third episode.
I was asking Sam the other day, I was like, have you seen this? She's like, no, I haven't seen anything for it. But I've seen, like, trailers and stuff, and I was just like...
It has itched my hunger, like, because one of the best games last gen on PlayStation, like, by far.
Oh, it's based on a video game?
No. It's based on a novel, but it's, like, the Ghost of Tsushima game that Sony made.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like The Last Samurai, but not, like, white friggin', like, a white savior. Like,
yeah.
It's funny, because I think there is technically, like, a white savior part to it, but
mm-hmm.
but that was also part, like, the book was written, I think, in, like... Leanna's dad read the book in high school, and it was, like, a big deal. Like, everyone fucking read Shogun.
Hmm.
It was, like a huge bestseller, and it's, like, loosely based on... I'm blanking on which period it is, but, like, essentially, like, the Western capitalism is, like,
Jurassic.
Slamming into... Yeah, can you imagine? Fucking samurais and dinosaurs, but...
Fuck yeah, dude.
No, but it just kind of takes place in, like, like, the Western capitalist, like, march into Japan.
Oh, okay.
And just, like, the ending of a period, and, like, of a certain way.
Which is, like, the period that Last Samurai movie tried to focus in on. Despite its flaws.
I believe a little
but earlier slightly before than that.
I think it's, like, right as that shit
it's
is,
before,
like, not, like...
It's before the foothold Tom Cruise hasn't showed up with guns.
Yeah, pretty much. I think the foothold wasn't... quite there yet, okay. Is what I'm getting at. I've only watched the first episode, and I was sleepy, and I did fall asleep for the last mm-hmm. 20 minutes, but everything I saw was just like, this is the show. And, like, the big thing being thrown around right now is, like, we haven't had a show like this since Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And that is being taken and run with, but I think what the message is there is the effective use of scale and properly filling the world. It's not... it just hits that line of, like, not being oversaturated.
Sure.
It just, everything kind of just fits and feels, it was so funny. I saw a comment online of, someone's like, oh, it's crazy. It's crazy what they can do to make the forests of Vancouver look like this period of Japan And so in the next comment was, yeah, they made 900 different planets on Stargate in Vancouver. Like, Japan's no fucking problem for them. No, I want to go back and watch some episodes of Stargate. But yeah, I don't know. You know, that's the thing too. Like, it's funny because, like, for the past like 2 months, I feel like every time I see my in-laws, my father-in-law is like, Shogun out yet? Like, he like thinks, really? That I got like the fucking insight. He's like the marketing, this very subtle marketing for, like, you know, like it's definitely shooting for like 35, you know, middle 30s and up for sure. Like, it's definitely like an old head show, but
we are that now. So
yeah, man. Like, I mean, it's meant for otakus and like people that read the book back. Interesting. In the day. That's who it's for. Yeah.
It's funny. We're just about caught up with Masters of the Air, and I won't do a whole thing on that. But I have learned this thing about myself where it's just like, Shane Gillis has this joke that I won't butcher, but just there's something about getting older and being super interested in history. Yeah. It's just like that. Yeah. Something's happening to me, and I don't know what it is, but I can't get enough of this kind of stuff right now. Okay, I'll check that out. Oh, we should end on the Q&A though.
Oh yeah.
I forgot about this. Because we hadn't done a Q&A in a little while. Shouts out to Vivian for throwing that up. And then Travis actually submitted a pretty bitchin' question. So here's the question of the week. Which, by the way, if you want to submit your questions, we put it up on our Instagram stories on Mondays at Part Time Otaku Podcast, and then we record on Tuesdays. Episodes out on Wednesdays, so if you want to get your question on the pod, just pop in the stories on Mondays. Okay, here it is. Many people list Demon Slayer as the perfect, quote, starter anime. What are the criteria for an anime to be one? I would say don't do what I did and don't force your girlfriend to watch Attack on Titan without any context. That doesn't work.
Did I do that to Liana? I'm trying to think. No. 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 Okay. Actually, one of my top picks for star anime is The Promised Neverland, the one and only season. I agree with Travis and what people have told him. Like, I think Demon Slayer is kind of like it's the modern, like, de facto one, because there's obviously these hallmarks, but I think one of the big criteria hallmarks for a show you need is word of mouth is a big one, which you know, generates itself. You know, because it can be hard buy-in for people. Like, oh, like, anime, like, I don't know. But, like, when you see the zeitgeist and the hype for a show, I think that it makes it that much easier for someone to, like, jump into it.
Yeah, a bit of community around a thing. That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
And then I think, you know, like, in any storytelling is you need the hook. There has to be, like, a really strong hook right off the bat.
It's funny. That's what I have, too.
And you can break that down once more, I think, into a mystery box story, you know, or that tips into Attack on Titan. Promised Neverland is like a big part of that. And then I think the other one is just like a sense of adventure straight off the bat.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's kind of like the descending pyramid. You could break that down more, but I think the hook and just a community, like a very open community, is often where you find the biggest ones. And then, like, the a legacy status show kind of helps. Like, oh, like, I've heard of that show. I remember people in high school read Death Note or saw Death Note. Like, why would I not watch Death Note? You know what I mean? So it's, I think it only gets easier to find starter anime the more time has passed and, like, the bigger it gets. And it's only getting easier now, but.
Ease of access to everything, too, changes quite a bit. I had most of that in my notes. It's funny that you just ripped all that off the bat. I mean, good hook, I think that it can exist in a ton of forms, right? Like, mystery box is a good way to put it. But whether it's action, romance, you just need something to draw people in, which my biggest point on this list is it has to have a strong pilot. Like, a lot of shows, ironically, I don't find my favorite show of all time, or at least one of them, is Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. And I don't think its pilot is great. I think its episode 2 is a better pilot than the show's actual episode 1.
I'm a staunch believer that Full Metal is not a starter anime.
No, that is very fair. It has legacy status, but not
a starter. It has legacy status. I don't think it's a starter anime, and maybe this is just like my own biases, but I love that story so much, and I think there's so many
things
fine little details and you know, like kind of references, like thinking forward moments or, you know, story forward moments that you almost want to be a little more comfortable watching anime, especially if you want to be like someone who likes watching subs. Which, you know, I hope everyone is. But anyway, that's not here. The fucking clip I sent you, Vince Staples, is so funny.
Yeah.
But,
and I have a simple world building. Like, jump in, jump out, not overly complex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're just, like, a dude who watches, like, live action, like, Fast and Furious, and then you try to watch Mushoku Tensei, like, that's a fucking nightmare. You know what I mean?
Wow. Those two people in the same room.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. But you know what I mean? Like, it's give that guy Demon Slayer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's guaranteed going to have a good time with it. Or Jujutsu Kaisen. You know what I mean? Maybe not Jujutsu. Even then, that's like a step further. But Demon Slayer really is like just so accessible because it's so straightforward.
Something with a foot half in the real world, half in like a fantasy sci-fi setting. I mean, like Dr. Stone.
Or you said it earlier. One. Death Note.
Death Note is, yeah, Death Note is perfect.
Cowboy Bebop.
I don't think it's a starter anime.
Whatever,
dude. As I've watched it, I don't, Jujutsu Kaisen, funny.
Castlevania,
also.
Cyberpunk.
Yeah, so, Cyberpunk is, I think if you want to come, like, crashing in of, like, what it really can be,
yeah.
You know, I think Cyberpunk's perfect for that.
Is Mob Psycho too much?
Yeah, I think that's, again, maybe my own personal bias, but
you probably
do
Mob Psycho as, like, your fifth anime.
Yeah, it's in the Full Metal area.
I was gonna say, the thing is, you graduate quickly, right? Like, Travis, I think, just finished Jujutsu Kaisen. Like, he's caught up. So, like, now that you're caught up on that, and let's say you've watched Demon Slayer, like, at that point, jump into your Death Notes, Cowboy Bebops. Like, you know what I mean? If you have your head wrapped around all that Jujutsu stuff, like... If you can survive.
Start off with Neon Genesis.
Yeah, start off with Neon Genesis.
Yo, freaking Leanna hit me up. She's like, should we watch that? And I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely, we're going to watch that.
Yeah, dude. Take out a Prozac prescription and just hit play.
She was like, what? Like, she's like, I hear you and Dave talk about it all the time. And like, you know, like, I'd like to watch it. And I'm like, she's like, what would you? I was like, you know, funny enough, I think it shares, out of anything we've watched together, it shares the most with Attack on Titan.
Yeah,
I don't think there would be Attack on Titan without Neon Genesis.
Yeah.
And many other shows, obviously. But yeah. I think, you know, there's a good one-to-one there.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, like, it's, like, dark. And I'm like, yeah, but, like,
oh,
in
like
the head.
Touch.
I was like, it's like, a mentally ill show. And she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, we're,
just, like, as long as you're ready to change as a person, before, like, yeah, just go in knowing you won't be, you'll be different on the way out than you were on the way in.
Yeah, and you feel it from, like, episode to episode. You're like, oh, I'm a different person now.
We're
not even done yet. Yeah, so that's going to be our journey.
The hype is, I will say, I remember feeling like the hype was a little much. Like, just go in and try and just let the show flow through you, man.
You think
it's
pumped
the
you up too much for Neon Genesis?
No, not necessarily you. I just mean, in general, it's like legacy status of people being like, it's the best thing of all time. It's so complex. It's deep, but it's, and you know, at times confusing, but just like watch it, do your best to try and keep track of things and enjoy. And then absolutely watch End of Evangelion when you're done the movie. And then I think, like, you know, then you can start searching the internet for answers.
Yeah.
But it's an experience. Okay. I think we can wrap.
Yeah.
All right, man. It's good to be back, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Feels like I got my arm back.
And we will never leave you again. And before we're sick next week. But that's fine. Okay? Adult things happen to adults. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back again next week. Subscribe to this on Apple Music and on Spotify at Part-Time Otaku Podcast and all the social media platforms that have already been mentioned. I'm out of practice. I don't know how to finish this. Grant, go ahead and say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.